Welcome back to the Crypto Daily, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into the heart of the Bitcoin debate with a special guest, Ethan Blockventure, a renowned crypto analyst. Ethan, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here, Sophia. Always happy to talk Bitcoin.
Now, Ethan, we've seen Bitcoin flirt with its all-time high recently, yet some analysts, yourself included, believe it's still grossly undervalued. What's the rationale behind this bullish outlook, especially considering its already astronomical rise?
It's all about perspective, Sophia. Yes, Bitcoin's journey has been remarkable, but if you look at the bigger picture, we're still in the early innings. Think of it like the internet in the late 90s. People saw its potential, but few grasped its true magnitude. Bitcoin's value proposition as a decentralized, finite store of value is only just beginning to be understood.
So you're saying Bitcoin's best days are still ahead? That's a bold claim, especially considering the regulatory uncertainty and the inherent volatility of the crypto market.
Volatility is part and parcel of any nascent asset class, Sophia. Remember the dot-com bubble? It was a roller coaster, but it also birthed tech giants that define our world today. Bitcoin's volatility will subside as adoption grows and its infrastructure matures. And regarding regulation, I believe it's a matter of when, not if. Clear regulations will only legitimize Bitcoin further and attract institutional investors who are currently on the sidelines.
Speaking of mysteries, Ethan, HBO's released a new documentary that's got the crypto community buzzing. Money Electric, the Bitcoin mystery, points the finger at Peter Todd as the elusive Satoshi Nakamoto. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Sophia, it's certainly a juicy theory, and Cullen Hoback, the director, has a knack for weaving a compelling narrative. Remember his QAnon documentary? But when it comes to Satoshi, I'm inclined to take these claims with a hefty grain of salt. The evidence presented, while intriguing, is largely circumstantial.
Some of the evidence, like Todd seemingly correcting Satoshi on a forum back in 2010, is pretty hard to dismiss. It does make you wonder if he slipped up and accidentally posted from the wrong account.
True. That particular instance is curious, and Hoback uses it to build his case. But let's not forget that Todd's been a vocal critic of some of Satoshi's decisions regarding Bitcoin. He's questioned the hard cap of 21 million coins, which is practically sacrilege in some Bitcoin circles. If he were Satoshi, wouldn't he be more likely to defend those choices rather than critique them?
That's a good point. It does seem counterintuitive. But perhaps it's all part of a grand act, a way to deflect suspicion. After all, if you were trying to protect your anonymity as the creator of Bitcoin, wouldn't you want to throw people off the scent?
It's possible, Sophia, but it also smacks of conspiracy theory. The truth is, we may never know for sure who Satoshi Nakamoto is, and frankly, does it really matter at this point? Bitcoin has transcended its creator. It's a decentralized network driven by a global community, not a single person's identity.
That's a fair point. But the mystery of Satoshi is so deeply intertwined with Bitcoin's origin story. It's hard not to be captivated by the possibility of finally unmasking the person or group behind it all.
I understand the allure, Sophia. But I think the focus should be on Bitcoin itself, its potential to revolutionize finance, and its impact on the world. Let's leave the sleuthing to the Cullen Hobacks of the world and focus on the bigger picture.
So, Ethan, Ethereum has had a bit of a rough year, especially compared to some of its peers like Bitcoin and Solana. But this article makes the case that now might be the perfect time to buy Ethereum before 2025. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Sophia, I think it's important to acknowledge that Ethereum has indeed lagged behind some of the other major cryptocurrencies this year. However, I'm inclined to agree with the article's overall sentiment. Ethereum remains a foundational blockchain with a vast and growing ecosystem. I think the factors they highlight, like the potential for declining Bitcoin dominance and the Fed's recent pivot on interest rates, could create a favorable environment for Ethereum in the coming years.
The article points to Bitcoin dominance as a key indicator. Can you elaborate on that for our listeners who may not be familiar with that concept?
Sure. Bitcoin dominance basically refers to the percentage of the total cryptocurrency market capitalization that Bitcoin accounts for. When Bitcoin dominance is high, as it is now, It suggests that investors are favoring Bitcoin over altcoins, which includes Ethereum. Historically, periods of high Bitcoin dominance have been followed by what we call altcoin seasons, where capital flows back into altcoins, often leading to significant price appreciation. If this pattern holds true, Ethereum, as the second largest cryptocurrency, stands to benefit greatly.
That makes sense. And the other factor they mentioned, the Fed's recent interest rate cut, how does that play into the Ethereum thesis?
Well, lower interest rates generally make riskier assets, like cryptocurrencies, more appealing to investors. When interest rates are high, investors can earn a decent return on relatively safe investments like bonds. But when those rates are cut, they're more inclined to seek out higher yield opportunities, even if it means taking on more risk. So, a rate-cutting cycle could very well drive more capital into the crypto space, and Ethereum would likely be a primary beneficiary.
The article also argues that Ethereum is overdue for a rally. What do you make of that claim? Do you think it holds water?
I think there's definitely a case to be made there. Ethereum's price action hasn't necessarily reflected its real-world usage and importance. It's the leading platform for DeFi, NFTs, and a whole range of other decentralized applications. Yet, its price remains well below its all-time high. So yes, I think there's a lot of pent-up potential there. If even one or two of these catalysts materialize in a significant way, we could see Ethereum embark on a major bull run.
This whole meme coin phenomenon is fascinating, isn't it? We've got Bitcoin searches hitting yearly lows while meme coin is trending upwards. What do you make of this shift in interest, Ethan?
It's pretty wild, Sophia. On one hand, you've got Bitcoin, the OG crypto, the one that started it all, kind of fading into the background of the search results. On the other hand, you've got these meme coins, often built around a joke or a trend, exploding in popularity. I think it speaks to a broader shift in the crypto space, maybe even a generational one.
A generational shift? Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Think about it. Bitcoin emerged in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, a time of deep distrust in traditional financial institutions. It appealed to a more technically savvy crowd, people who were drawn to its decentralized, censorship-resistant nature. Now, fast forward to today, and you've got a whole new generation of investors entering the crypto space, many of whom are more comfortable with risk, more attuned to internet culture, and frankly, looking for a quick buck. Meme coins, with their viral potential and low barrier to entry, perfectly capture that zeitgeist.
That's an interesting take. And the numbers certainly support it. I mean, 491,000 new tokens on Solana since September? That's just mind-boggling. It really highlights the ease with which these meme coins can be created, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Platforms like Pump.Fun and SunPump have made it incredibly easy for anyone to launch their own token. It's almost like the Wild West out there. And while this accessibility can be exciting, it also comes with significant risks. As Mark Cuban said, every meme coin is a rug pull in the works. And he's not wrong. Many of these tokens lack any real utility or underlying value, making them incredibly susceptible to pump and dump schemes.
Which is a very real danger for inexperienced investors who might get caught up in the hype. It's like the dot-com bubble all over again, just with dog coins instead of dial-up internet providers.
The analogy is apt. And just like the dot-com bubble, this meme coin craze is likely to end badly for many. But, and this is important, it doesn't mean that all meme coins are worthless or that the entire sector is doomed. Some of these projects, believe it or not, might actually evolve into something meaningful, offering real utility and value to users. It's still early days, and the space is incredibly volatile. But there's potential amidst the chaos.
Speaking of meme coins with staying power, let's talk about the OG meme coin, Dogecoin. It's been making headlines again, with an article highlighting its performance since Mark Cuban's Dallas Mavericks started accepting it back in 2021. Ethan, as a seasoned crypto observer, what's your take on this? Is Dogecoin's recent resurgence a fluke, or is there something more substantial behind it?
It's definitely interesting to see Dogecoin back in the spotlight. Remember, this is a coin that started as a joke, a parody of the speculative frenzy surrounding Bitcoin at the time. But here we are, over a decade later, and Dogecoin is still around, even thriving to some extent. The fact that a major sports franchise like the Mavericks embraced it as payment certainly legitimized it in the eyes of many. And let's be honest, Mark Cuban is a savvy businessman. He wouldn't touch something unless he saw some potential in it.
That's true. He's not exactly known for shying away from unconventional investments, but the article mentions that a $1,000 investment in Dogecoin back in March 2021 would be worth over $2,100 today. That's a significant return, especially when you consider the broader market volatility during that period. What do you attribute this growth to?
Well, part of it is undoubtedly due to the overall growth of the crypto market in recent years. A rising tide lifts all boats, as they say. But Dogecoin has also benefited from its strong community and its meme-worthy status. It's become a cultural phenomenon, embraced by celebrities like Elon Musk, which has undoubtedly contributed to its price appreciation.
This article claims investors could turn $100 into a $1 million crypto portfolio in just 12 months by focusing on four specific altcoins. Seems like quite a bold claim. What are your thoughts on that, Ethan?
I'd say it's definitely possible, Sophia, but highly improbable. While the crypto market is known for its volatility and potential for huge returns, a 10,000x return in a year is exceptionally rare, even in this space. It requires a perfect storm of factors to align, including overall market sentiment, specific project developments, and even a bit of luck.
Let's break down the altcoins they highlight. First up is Rexus Finance, a platform focused on tokenizing real-world assets. They've had a successful pre-sale, but can they really deliver on their promises?
Tokenizing real-world assets is a huge opportunity, and Rexus Finance seems to be approaching it with a comprehensive ecosystem. Their QuickMint bot and AI generator for NFTs are interesting additions, but the real test will be their execution and adoption rate. The real estate angle is particularly intriguing, as it could unlock significant liquidity in a traditionally illiquid market.
The article also mentions XRP, Cardano, and Polkadot as potential high-growth candidates. What's your perspective on these more established projects?
They each have their strengths. XRP, despite its regulatory hurdles, remains a major player in cross-border payments. Cardano is known for its methodical, research-driven approach to development. And Polkadot's multi-chain architecture aims to solve blockchain interoperability. However, it's important to remember that past performance is not indicative of future results. While they've shown potential, predicting such explosive growth requires a crystal ball, not just technical analysis.
So, Ethan, stablecoins have been making headlines, and for good reason. They seem to be bridging this gap between the traditional financial system and the often volatile world of crypto. What are your thoughts on their growing role?
Absolutely, Sophia. Stablecoins are becoming increasingly crucial in the crypto space. Their value proposition is clear. Offer the benefits of blockchain technology, like fast transactions and global accessibility, without the wild price swings of Bitcoin or Ethereum. This stability makes them incredibly versatile.
Right? And that stability comes from their peg to fiat currencies or other assets. But we've seen some stablecoins face scrutiny regarding the transparency of their reserves. How can investors assess the reliability of a stablecoin's peg?
Transparency is key. Investors should look for stablecoins with regular, independently audited proof of reserves. The clearer the issuer is about their holdings, the more confidence users can have. It's also crucial to understand the pegging mechanism. Is it fiat collateralized, crypto collateralized, algorithmic, or commodity backed? Each type has its own set of risks and benefits.
That's a great point. Let's delve into those different types. Fiat collateralized stablecoins, like Tether and USDC, seem to be the most popular. What makes them so dominant?
Their simplicity and straightforwardness are appealing. They're backed 1-1 by fiat currency reserves, making it easy for users to understand. However, they're reliant on centralized institutions for that backing, which can be a concern for some crypto enthusiasts.
Then we have crypto collateralized stablecoins like DAI, which use other cryptocurrencies as collateral. They sound a bit more complex. Can you explain how they maintain stability?
They're definitely more intricate. They rely on over-collateralization and smart contracts to manage price fluctuations. Essentially, you lock up more crypto than the value of the stablecoin you receive. If the collateral's value drops, the system can automatically liquidate a portion to maintain the peg.
Interesting. And what about algorithmic stablecoins? They've gained attention, but also faced challenges, haven't they?
They're the most ambitious, aiming for stability through algorithms and market mechanisms rather than direct backing. The challenge lies in creating robust algorithms that can handle extreme market conditions. The collapse of Terra's UST was a stark reminder of the risks involved.
A valuable lesson indeed. Now, commodity-backed stablecoins, often linked to gold or other assets, seem to offer a different value proposition. What are your thoughts on their potential?
They can be an attractive option for investors seeking exposure to both the stability of commodities and the flexibility of crypto. However, it's important to consider the inherent volatility of the underlying commodity itself. Gold, for instance, can fluctuate in price, which could impact the stablecoin's value.
Well, Ethan, this new fund from Gate Ventures, Movement Labs, and Boon Ventures is certainly making waves. What are your initial thoughts on this $20 million injection into the MOVE ecosystem?
It's a big deal, Sophia. We're talking about some serious players here, all betting on MOVE's potential to reshape Web3. Gate Ventures, with its ties to Gate.io, brings deep crypto expertise and reach. Movement Labs, of course, is the driving force behind MOVE itself. And Boon Ventures, well, they have a knack for spotting promising tech with long-term vision. This isn't just about throwing money around, it's a strategic alliance.
Absolutely. And the focus areas are telling DeFi, gaming, consumer applications, even decentralized physical infrastructure. It seems they're aiming for a holistic impact on the MOVE ecosystem.
Exactly. They're not just picking winners, they're building an ecosystem. The emphasis on MOVE VM rollups is particularly interesting. It suggests a vision of a multi-chain future where MOVE-based blockchains can seamlessly interact with Ethereum and potentially other chains. This interoperability is crucial for mass adoption.
That's a great point. We often talk about interoperability as a buzzword, but this feels like a concrete step towards making it a reality. And with MOVE's focus on security and scalability, it could be a very attractive option for developers looking to build robust and user-friendly dApps.
Absolutely. Security is paramount, especially after the high-profile incidents we've seen in the DeFi space. MOVE's formal verification capabilities, where smart contract code is mathematically proven, could be a game changer in building trust and attracting institutional adoption.
Indeed. And let's not forget the involvement of Boon Ventures, with their background in traditional finance and long-term investment perspective. It seems this fund is not just about chasing quick returns. It's about building something sustainable for the future of Web3. Finally, let's talk about Ashang's new project. They're partnering with 3Business to develop a Web3 coupon system. Ethan, what's your take on this?
I think it's a fascinating use case for Web3, Sophia. We often focus on DeFi and NFTs, but loyalty programs are a huge market ripe for disruption. Traditional coupon systems are often clunky, prone to fraud, and lack personalization. Web3, with its ability to create unique, verifiable digital assets, could offer a much more engaging and secure experience.
Absolutely. The article mentioned how this system leverages blockchain, 5G, and AI. Could you elaborate on how these technologies come together to create a more robust coupon ecosystem?
Sure. Blockchain ensures the transparency and security of the coupons. Each coupon is a unique token, so counterfeiting is virtually impossible. 5G comes into play with its high speed and low latency, enabling near instantaneous coupon verification and redemption, even at scale. And AI can be used to personalize coupon offers based on user behavior and preferences, making the entire experience more rewarding for the customer.
It's interesting how they highlight the shift from general points accumulation to earning unique digital assets. Do you think this could be the future of loyalty programs?
It's certainly possible. Imagine a future where instead of just getting points, you earn limited edition NFTs that can be traded or even used in different ecosystems. That adds a whole new layer of gamification and value proposition to the loyalty program, making it much more engaging for the consumer. It's early days, but this project with Aishang and 3Business could be a glimpse into the future of customer loyalty.
It's definitely an exciting development to watch. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Ethan. And that's all the time we have for today's show. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.